listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. The artist and performer known as Prince has died today at the age of 57. He was known sometimes as His Royal Badness or the Purple One. Prince influenced a generation of musicians. He released 39 albums over more than 35 years. He's won 7 Grammy Awards and earned 30 nominations. And he also won an Oscar for the original song score to the film Purple Rain.
Jonathan Pollack joins us now to talk about Prince's musical and cultural legacy. He's a history instructor at Madison College and one of our go-to experts on the music scene. John, welcome back to Central Time.
Oh, thanks a lot, Rob. Glad to be on.
Well, Prince, as I think of it, he was a category of one, really. He was really unique among performers the last, I don't know how long, wasn't he?
Yeah. I mean, he had he crossed so many different genres. I mean, his music was kind of it was kind of rooted in funk. It was rooted in rock and roll. It was rooted in like psychedelic rock, in top 40 pop, in soundtracks. He was really just all over the place.
And as Prince himself pointed out, I mean, he was doing stuff that nobody else was doing. He said, "If I were doing this stuff now, it wouldn't seem as fresh." But back when he started, when he burst on the scene, it seems like nobody was doing the stuff he was doing.
Yeah, he was really hard to classify. I mean, there were other, you know, when he first came out in the early 80s, there were definitely other funk groups out there. There were groups like Cameo and Parliament and Funkadelic and things like that. But Prince's stuff was different. It was kind of rooted in that tradition, but he definitely put his own spin on it.
And this whole package of skills he brought as a singer, a musician, producer, a performer, a talent scout. I mean, he found a lot of other people who were kind of pop stars under his umbrella in a way. I can't think of who else I put on the list along with Prince.
Yeah, he did. On some of his songs, he was one of those musicians who'd record all the parts himself. Mm-hmm. So he'd play the guitar track, he'd play the bass, he'd play the drums, he'd play the keyboards. He was also, he was an amazing songwriter. I mean, he wrote songs for Sheena Easton, for the Bangles, for all kinds of performers, in addition to the people who he discovered and promoted and recorded. He was kind of do-it-yourself whole package that we see very rarely. I can't think of other musicians who've done that same kind of broad work in music.
And here in the Midwest, we were really proud of him. It felt really cool that we had this top-of-the-line pop star in the Midwest. I mean, he was in Minneapolis, not Wisconsin, but we sort of felt like we owned him by proxy, and people talked about the Minneapolis sound. How did that Midwestern kind of ethic play into his music?
Wow, that's a great question. So most obviously, you know, Purple Rain is semi-autobiographical, so that's set in a place like Minneapolis, at least. So I think that kind of played into it. Prince wrote a song for the Minnesota Vikings, like kind of a fight song that they could use. I think what's interesting is that he actually stayed in the Midwest. I mean, there are lots of other artists that start out in a Midwestern city and eventually move to Los Angeles or move to New York or something like that. Prince stayed in the Minneapolis area, and really, if people wanted to record with him, that's where they had to go. And stayed very active locally in addition to having this international profile. He was where other people would kind of tip their hat to their Midwestern roots and so forth and kind of emphasize that background, even though it's not where they are now. Prince very much stayed there. He was really part of Minneapolis.
Well, let's talk about the look of Prince. I mean, back in the 80s, he definitely had an impact on what a lot of people were wearing. There were stories, remember, at the mall that sold masks that I think a lot of kids inspired by Prince were going out and buying. He really, it was beyond the music.
Well, and I think that's another example of this kind of genre crossing, though, is that when Prince was at the peak of his powers, like in the, you know, early to mid-80s, so this is the age of new wave in music and the styles and the music coming in from England in particular. And what I think is interesting about Prince is that in a lot of ways he had that kind of new wave look. He had that kind of androgynous look. He wore all kinds of bright colors. He wore makeup. He did up his hair and things like that. But he was kind of grafting that look onto African-American music at a time when music was really segregated. I mean, Prince came up and would have been one of the first black artists of a video era on MTV shortly after Michael Jackson. So the fact that he was able to do that in terms of that he was able to, you know, mix styles from different areas and yet make that all his own, I think that's another whole aspect of his performance career that's really fascinating about him.
When I think about how Prince mattered in my life, I mean, I followed him later on, but the album Purple Rain was just it for me. That's imprinted on my soul, kind of. How important is Purple Rain, you know, just personally to a lot of people and to music?
Yeah, I mean, I had that same thought earlier today, that the Purple Rain in 1999 especially, it was like every high school dance I went to, there'd be multiple cuts from those albums played. I mean, you're right. I mean, that feeling of just having that music burned on your brain. I mean, I didn't consider myself a particularly big Prince fan during that time. I really liked Sign of the Times, though. That I thought was a really cool record. But those two earlier ones, I mean, they were such monster records that even now, I just, you know, those songs are running through my mind, and I know all the lyrics. It's just, it's there. And so for a couple of generations of Americans, I think that's the case, is that he was just all pervasive, that his stuff was just so popular that, you know, we still, it's like muscle memory. We just kind of, we can hear part of it, and if we turn the radio off, we just know what the next line is going to be.
John, just speaking to his power at that time in the 80s, there's a Facebook post from an old high school friend of mine who's a big fan. He wrote, for a 15-year-old odd black kid in a small town who didn't belong anywhere, he was a lifeline. He was a guy who said, you're a freak and you're weird, but it's okay. You're okay. And he said he saw Prince playing that role for him that David Bowie did for a lot of us white kids at the time. And that's something about music, that it can give a home to people in a lot of ways.
Well, and I think it's also I think that kind of gets back to the Midwestern point that you were making earlier, that we don't think of the Midwest as we don't think in terms of Midwestern black communities often. That oftentimes when people talk about black culture in America, they're talking about the southern United States, or they're talking about bigger cities. They're talking about blues scenes in Chicago or hip-hop coming out of New York and Los Angeles. And I think Prince demonstrated for people like the friend who you referenced that there are vibrant black communities everywhere, and that the concept, there are many definitions of blackness. There's not like one authentic blackness out there, and that Prince really did that. And I think I suspect that a lot of people had a similar connection to Prince that your friend did, that by being individual and by coming out of Minneapolis and being very proud of his blackness at the same time, that Prince served as that kind of role model as well.
Jonathan, before we let you go, what's your favorite Prince song?
Raspberry Beret is the first one that comes to mind.
I
love that kind of violin part that comes in there. Just the lyrics are great. As somebody who bought a ton of secondhand clothing when that song was popular, that, you know, Raspberry Beret is the kind you find in a secondhand store. That's my favorite.
John, thanks a lot for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
That was Jonathan Pollock, history instructor at Madison College. He joined us to talk about the musical and cultural legacy of Prince, who passed away today at the age of 57. Now we're looking for your memories, your favorite songs, and your thoughts about Prince. Head over and post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Or you can tweet us your favorite Prince songs at Central Time WPR is the way to do it.
And a lot of great Prince songs. John Pollock, we heard Raspberry Beret. Let's Go Crazy is a song that I haven't had a chance to go and listen to since hearing the news today, but that's the one that's definitely stuck in my head. The long Preacher intro and then just the rock and guitar solo toward the end.
It's hard to choose. The thing is that there's so many great Prince songs that you can't really choose one. You can't really go wrong either. That's the beauty of it.
Yeah, and we were talking, you know, is this our generation only? Because this is when we were in high school. But then our millennial producers were definitely affected by this. And I was just out walking on campus And I kept hearing the student age people say, Prince?
Right, it's so interesting. Yeah. We're children of the 80s. At least we were teenagers when Prince was big. And I think of him as sort of our generation, but I guess we have to share him with the world.
Definitely. We'll go out with Purple Rain by Prince on Central Time.